Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you today. We're talking about a subject. Is civil disobedience biblical? Is civil disobedience biblical? What is your opinion? Where do you stand? What do you base your opinion on? Is it just fiat opinion? Is it a decision that's made and an opinion that's generated based on what others are saying or doing? Or do you base your opinion on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God? I'm talking with one of our sons today, Greg Youngblood. Greg is with us. He's up in the southern tip of heaven, that state called Tennessee. I'm thankful that he's taken time out of his schedule to be with us today. We're talking about this very serious issue of civil disobedience and whether or not it's biblical. We've already determined that it is biblical based on the authority of the Word of God. And if you even go beyond the Word of God to our Constitution, any law that's generated, any law that's made, if it is antithetical to or against what is found in the Constitution, it is an unlawful law and ought not to be expected to be obeyed by the citizens. Greg, we'd started before the news break talking about a nurse named Megan. Megan writes this, and it's to Matt Staver with the Liberty Council. And by the way, Greg, let me tuck this in for our listeners today. Matt Staver, Liberty Council. You can go to Liberty Council website. And Liberty Council's website has a number of forms there that you can download and utilize if you want to get a religious exemption from your employer. Then those forms are there. Other forms for military, religious exemption, et cetera, et cetera. So let me commend that to you. Matt Staver with the Liberty Council is doing a fantastic job on defending literally multiple thousands, you heard me, multiple thousands of people across America today, just as this nurse, Megan, that had to leave her job as a ICU nurse as a result of taking the COVID vaccination. This article says, statement by Megan, the nurse, I was single, 37 years old, on top of the world, in the best physical shape of my life. And yet, as a nurse, I believe in vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera. I worked in the COVID ICU ward since the day of the first day of the pandemic. Now, Megan can't work at all. She cannot drive. She can't walk because of the Pfizer jab. 30 minutes after receiving the Pfizer shot, Megan's face went numb, then became paralyzed. By that evening, she had 105-degree fever, extreme high body pain, and tremors all over her body. The article is lengthy. I'll not read the balance of it, but the bottom line is that Pfizer jab has left her totally physically incapable of walking, of driving, with tremors just to show she had Parkinson's disease, and unable to work or do anything for herself as a result of taking that jab. And yet, Greg, we have those across America today that somehow, some way, think that they need to bow. And you touched on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego earlier. And I find it really fascinating, challenging, encouraging for what those three young Jewish lads did. The notice had gone out from the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, that everybody, when the band plays, everybody's to bow at that 90-foot-tall gold image that was placed in the plains of Dura, according to the scripture, and everybody was to bow. Three young men said, we will not bow to a false god. They remained standing. The snitch system of that day, very much like the snitch system that's been developed in America, they told the king, Nebuchadnezzar, they told him that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow. He called them in. He chided them. He threatened them. We're going to throw you in the furnace, fiery furnace, lest you obey. And the three young men said, if it be so, verse 17 and 18 of chapter 3, the book of Daniel, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, let it be known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Greg, I think that's one of the greatest evidences, and you find it in the sixth chapter where Daniel went on and prayed, even though the edict, the decree, the fiat order by the government, let's say Biden of that day, said you can't pray. Daniel did. Anyway, we find those two major factors in finding that there is a statement or there is room in the scripture to say that, yes, we have the authority as believers, as Christians, Old Testament as God-fearers, to say no to the government if it's antithetical to God's word. So I am extremely concerned where we know that there's no empirical evidence whatsoever that these shots, these jabs, there's no empirical evidence that they are harmless. And you touched on earlier, Greg, that when a person goes in to get that jab, they are, according to the law, according to the information about the COVID vaccination, they're to tell the one getting the vaccination about all the harm possible, all of the negative effects it could be, so that a consent can be made based on being told. And yet that is not taking place. Greg, where are we today in society? What should we do as a people? How should we respond? Should there be civil disobedience? Are the military men, 800,000, saying no? 800,000 servicemen say no to the Pentagon's vaccination mandate. Are they all wrong, or how should we view this in our own understanding today?
Well, the reality is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the minority. There were probably tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands that were bowing down that day. You know, we had a lady years ago that was told she needed to go to the back of the bus, and she refused. That's called civil disobedience, folks. That's disobeying a law because that law is either not right or because that law is unlawful or unconstitutional. And, you know, it is a tough thing to do, especially when all the pressures of the world are coming, you know, going the other direction. As we went to the top of the news, top of the hour news break, there was a report that dealing with Pfizer and the push for the booster, and there was an indication that these are safe and effective. Right. I contend that was a lie to the public. That was a lie. Why in the world are we not being told the truth?
Greg, hold your thoughts just a moment. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I mean, there was a report on YouTube about two couple, a married couple, they doctors, and they volunteered one of the kids to take the vaccine. Well, a month after, the poor 14-year-old is on a wheelchair. And I don't want to be any of those parents. Do you imagine how they feel about this? The big problem that I have with this nonsense is they are forcing you to take it, and God forbid you got a negative side effect, you cannot go after them. Wait a minute, but you pushed me to do it. I was fine before I took it. Now that I took it, my health is going downhill. So whose fault is it? That tells you right there that these people are experimenting with the population. So now they're talking about six more vaccines. Multiply that, brother. I don't know how many billions they're making. And I'm not going to take any of those. I'm sorry. If they put me in jail, might as well go ahead and do it. But the frightening thing is, this imposter in the White House, he just struggled a pen. He's just twisting and he's becoming a Marxist that we know. You see what happened at borders with the drones? He just called the FAA, and they came out with a statement that you cannot fly the drone. You see how easy they're doing this? What else are they going to do? Are they going to shut down the Christian stations? Are they going to shut down the churches? And the people is silent. This is what passes me. I'm like, are you kidding me? How do you feel about that, brother? This is the wide open, and the media is complicit. They don't say anything. They are silent. How about those 10 little kids in Afghanistan that got killed by mistake and the three adults? And you hear the media crying foul and asking for this imposter to be removed from the White House? I think the media is at fault, and the media have blocked it on their hands. Because
yes,
covering everything that this socialist dictator in the White House is doing. I mean, it's just, brother, I don't know whether the protests, whether the people saying something. Look at this rapper. What's the name? The Black Air. I don't listen to that music. Majish something, and me something. The Black Air. She's a liberal, and she's been silent as well. And she was invited to the White House, and she said, "I ain't going because nobody's gonna silence me." It's good because that's happened to a liberal. Because if that's a conservative, she'll be called a conspiracy. She'll be called a right winger. She's a liberal, and I guess she has like 132 million followers on Instagram. I believe she has more voters than Biden had in this past election. So now I don't know how they're going to deal with that, Pico, because she's a liberal, and she's talking about this, and she said, wait a minute, all I did was exercise my American right, express my opinion. Why I'm being silent? So I think she's waking up, and she's waking up a lot of his followers. So the White House is in panic mode, invited her to the White House, and she said, I'm not going. Because I'm not going to change what I say. What do you think about those things, brother, that we are seeing in the open? And I keep listening.
Jose, thank you so much for your comments. Greg, what is your view and what are your thoughts and responses to Jose's comments?
Right on. Jose is right on. It's not just a matter of the media being silent and complicit in this cover-up. They're literally actively on social media platforms erasing, doing away with, making unavailable content that allows you to find the truth. If that truth is about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or about the jab, you know, and not just the jab. We always say the jab. You have all these different varieties, your Johnson & Johnson, your AstraZeneca, your Pfizer, your Moderna. And, of course, it's interesting that the fellow that was the head of the FDA up until 2019 went over, and he's on the board of directors for Pfizer. And you kind of wonder how in the world did Pfizer get the nod, you know, the full go-ahead first. I wonder how that happened. I wonder if he knows some people over at the FDA. But let me point out something. There are things where the media, they intend to, hey, we're gonna show these. Now, they keep saying anti-vaxxers. I'm not anti-vax, folks. I am pro-truth. I just want the truth to come out about these things. And being pro-truth, it's amazing how sometimes the media really steps in it. If you go on Facebook today, and I hope they haven't erased the direct link, because if you go to WXYZ TV, Channel 7, you go to their Facebook page, on the 10th of September, they asked the question, after the vaccines were available to everyone, did you lose an unvaccinated loved one to COVID-19? And it goes on and on. Well, guess what? As of like last night, there were 182,000 comments and 170,000 shares. And most of those comments were people saying, to the contrary, I had a friend, or I had a brother, or I had a sister, or my mom died after getting the jab, or had to go in for major surgery, or had a stroke, or they've got myocarditis or pericarditis. 180,000. I mean, yeah, I'm not saying all those were, but you can find it today. By the way, I posted a link to the Pamela Geller story on that on my page. Had multiple people share it. I just looked. Apparently, Facebook has already pulled that down, made the content unavailable. Go figure. I think that's the one they just erased. They're all the time putting me in Facebook jail. I think I've got I think I've got more medals and badges along that line than the average person. And by the way, if you're not getting put in Facebook jail, you're probably not working hard enough at it.
you're probably this one just commented your Facebook. You've become a Facebook criminal. So
that's me.
I'm looking at an article here, Greg, that I believe would be informative to our listeners. A new report out of the UK declares COVID shots are unsafe for human use, end quote. It goes further to say one of Israel's largest hospitals warned in January that Pfizer's COVID shots were causing serious harm. Patients were suffering Bell's palsy, that is numbness and tingling of the limbs, within the first days of the shot. No one, this article says, should be forced to get these shots at all. Hang on there, Greg, for a moment. I believe we have John on the line. John, go with the question or comments, please.
Yep. Happy Monday. Can you hear me? I'm on the road.
Yes, can hear you well.
Okay, good. And I've got both hands on the wheel. But anyway, last week, I was thinking about this, last week I had a wellness visit, and my doctor was talking about the vaccine, and of course I told her, I said, I have not taken it. Are you writing that down? Jokingly saying that. She said, well, you've had the first vaccine for pneumonia. Do you want the second one? I said, sure, why not? And then I thought about it, and I said, you know, why is it I'm so receptive? I said, why is it I'm so receptive to the vaccine for preventing pneumonia, but then I'm so against getting the vaccine. I told her, I said, you can line up all kinds of doctors, nurses, or whatever, and as you go along, each one's going to have something different to say. So that was one of my points. The second one, I spent time with family members this past weekend, and the male family member, he had Moderna, and he had, in the past, high blood pressure. His blood pressure went so low that they put him on a heart monitor and stuff because of he's having all kinds of side effects. He spent 3 days with nothing but sleep right after he had had the vaccine. And then when he woke up, he had heard something about metallic-type things that are in the injection. So he took a butter knife. I saw a picture of it. It's his arm. It's not something I saw on social media. It's his arm. And there was a butter knife that was actually stuck to his skin on his tricep. He had his arm hanging down, so you couldn't have it to where your arm's sticking up. His arm is hanging down by his side, both horizontal and perpendicular. And it's like, okay, what did they jab him with that's allowing a butter knife to stick to his skin? And the last thing, I guess, we're supposed to be the light of the world. And if we're the light of the world, we're not supposed, I don't have the Bible verse right this very, you may be able to have Dr. Young, but I'm sure you know what is
Matthew 5, verse 13 and following.
Yeah, we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're not supposed to hide it under a bushel or something like that. So, so we definitely need to speak out. And thank you for what y'all do.
Thank you so much, John, for your call and for your comments. Greg, what is your take on that response?
Well, I'd encourage folks to go and listen to the testimony of those doctors before the FDA panel considering the booster shots. And, of course, they voted, I think, 16-3 against. And several of the doctors, I mean, you can go onto my Facebook page, and I have the link there for you, and you can listen to the individual doctors, or you can listen to 8 hours of testimony straight if you'd like to. And, you know, I encourage you to do, if you have time to sit around, and if you're not already reading your Bible or studying the other worthwhile things, if you want to learn more about these experimental vaccines, listen to it. But, you know, some of the doctors are saying, help us. You know, we've got vaccine hesitance. And, you know, the folks that are coming in vaccine hesitant, as much as the media wants to play them as being ignorant, the opposite is what I'm finding, this physician says. He says they come in with more information than all of my vaccine okay patients. You know, they come in with studies and with metadata and documents supporting their hesitance. He says, and of course, we're getting things out of Israel where they're one of the most vaccinated populations. However, their cases are spiking. You know, so we need some help with this. What can you do to help us with this? And I thought it was great because he was asking the question in such a fashion that really we ought to all be asking the question. And when it comes to the safety side, you know, not the efficacy, that's the Israel model, but the safety side, we're reporting, you know, I'm seeing reports of, like I say, anywhere from 9,000 or 10,000 to over 40,000 in America that have died associated with the vaccine. And I'd like to ask this question for folks. Think about this right now. If tens of thousands are reporting death associated with the vaccine, how many autopsies have they done on these people? How many of that have they followed up to study to see whether or not people are dying from the vaccine? Let me give you the answer. The answer is one. One. Patient over 80. Now, if you're really looking for the truth, and I challenge you, look for the truth. If you're really looking for the truth, FDA, CDC, NIH, WHO, if you're looking for the truth, why aren't you studying that? Why aren't you looking into that? Why haven't we heard about 10,000 autopsies where you're checking to see what are these people dying from 3 days after they get the jab, the day they get the jab, 30 days after? What are they dying from, folks? What's going on in their bodies? And, of course, this was an 80-year-old that had got the jab. 24 days later, he ends up in the hospital with COVID symptoms, even though he wasn't COVID positive. Turns out he dies like 2 or 3 days later
And they test him, and they go, oh, he's got COVID now, so I guess he's a COVID death. But things were weird enough that they go, let's autopsy this guy. But that should be going on in mass if they're seeking the truth. But I think the real thing is they're seeking to get as many people jabbed as possible. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. You just need to get jabbed.
And Greg, you touched on it, but we find that all the pharmaceutical and the medical establishment, the pharmaceutical establishment, and the media are all lying to us about the jab. In fact, when it comes to the truth being told, it is not heard on any of the Communist Network news or otherwise. And yet, recently, Don Lemon, or as Tucker Carlson calls him, Don Lemon, Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo were in dialogue on the Communist Network news. I was not watching it. I found it online. And it was Don Lemon that said he was just very castigating, demeaning to the, as he called them, the non-vaxxers and the Christians. He said that they were dumb, crazy, stupids, and we just need to let them go ahead and die if that's what they're going to do. That's the mindset. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says survey shows that 97% are the vaccinated Americans who've ended relationships with and friendships during the COVID-19 pandemic, and ex-pals are full-blown anti-vaxxers. This is a fascinating, serious article where it talks about 97% of those that were surveyed online had said that they had dropped relationships and friendships with those that refused to take the vaccination because they were basically, as the article says, basically saying that they were non-informed and did not know what they were doing. And so those that are vaccinated saying, I'm not going to affiliate, associate, have any friendship with the non-vaxxers, as though somehow, some way, the non-vaxxers are stupid and crazy. Is it true, Greg, from the standpoint of your understanding of it, that those that have said no to the vaccination are not just non-vaxxers, but they are smart enough to research and to study and to look at the side effects? Is that true or false?
According to this physician that was speaking on the panel before the FDA, that's absolutely true. Those individuals that are against this false information, against this current experimental vaccine, they're coming in with more facts and more data to support their vaccine hesitancy. And on the other matter, I'll say the divisiveness, by the way, folks understand, I've got a pretty huge network. And I've got folks that call, and we talk about a million different things. And one of these folks in my network, he called together a group of folks, and he wants to go out on a pontoon boat this Friday. And I said, you know what? I'm busy, but I'll do. And it was a group of folks in ministry and such. And I'm going, I'll go with you. Let's do it. So we planned it. That was last night. I get a call back this morning. He says, Greg, I don't know what to say. He says, I am so sorry. He's spoken with different folks. And one of those that's going to be on this boat, she's been told by her doctor that she's been vaccinated and she shouldn't be around unvaccinated people. And now I could real quickly say, hey, scientifically, an individual that's vaccinated can get this bug, this COVID, and a person that's unvaccinated can get this COVID. And both of them will carry the same viral loads and have the same transmissibility. But I guess if that makes her feel better. You know, I'm not worried about it at all. That's sort of what I say. I'm not worried about it at all. I mean, I know I can get this COVID thing, and so can other folks. But it didn't hurt my feelings is what I'm saying, because most of these people are speaking out of ignorance, and that's okay. I'd never say that to her face. I'd never say that to her face. But I've done a lot of homework. I stay up almost every night till 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm reading and studying different things. But a lot of my time lately, because of this COVID craze, I've been reading. I've been studying these things so that I can share the truth with other folks. By the way, side Amen. Note, do you know the WHO? Listen, this story could turn out to be false, but I'm seeing it on half a dozen or more sites right now. The WHO is being sued by the India Bar Association on the basis that they withheld data or gave false data on ivermectin, and it potentially cost many tens of thousands of lives in India. And that's a pretty dense country, and of course different states in India decided, hey, we're going to hand out ivermectin like candy and see how that works, and other ones decided, no, we're going to go the other direction. And one of them decided that, hey, we're going to go the other direction, because the World Health Organization came out and said not only is it not effective, but I think they said it was dangerous. But now y'all check me out, folks. I mean, and that story may not pan out, but right now it looks like it's legit that the WHO and Boutros, whatever his name is there, is being personally called out on this. They lied about ivermectin and, of course, the entire protocol associated with ivermectin. And it's disgusting, because all we're trying to do is get out the truth. When you research something and it looks like, hey, this is going to be helpful, this is going to be efficacious, and it's completely squashed, and then that which is not efficacious and that which is dangerous is promoted, I mean, I feel like we're living in upside down backwards world.
Yes.
This is literally called good, evil, and evil they're calling good. We're seeing it play out in reality.
Absolutely. And the Bible says that that's what would take place as we study the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter in particular. Here's a headline, Greg, that says, Doctor in leaked video says hospitals COVID-19 messaging should be more scary for the public to force them to get the vaccination. If you don't get vaccinated, they said, you know you're going to die, end quote. And it's where a Zoom call from a head of a hospital in North Carolina was heard to say that they need to put out more scary information to induce people, to force people to get the vaccination. There's a mindset somehow that you can lie to the public, push them, prod them, and lie to them, and it's going to force them to get the COVID shot, the vaccination. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast today. Let's go back to a fundamental underpinning that I believe our listeners need to understand. Yes, we have a dangerous pathogen that is deadly. Yes, we have a very dangerous thing that is taking place at the hands of mankind that's created this based on the love of money that's killing multiple millions around the world. But how should we respond? What is your message, biblically speaking, for our listeners today that we need to understand and respond that would be pleasing to God and would be something that would protect our lives for the future?
Well, we could go through probably 100 scriptures that say, fear not, and that's great. But in the midst of the chaos, obviously, fulfill your obligations as a believer. And remember, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's where the believer's heart and mind ought to be today. Focus on that. If it's true, seek it out. Love truth. I love the quotes that you roll into as you start your broadcast almost every day about seeking the truth and loving the truth. And that's where we ought to be as believers. And stop this fighting with one another. If somebody's not jabbed, don't be upset. If they're jabbed, don't be upset. Love your brother and seek the truth with your brother.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.